I want to just introduce my wife, Pastor Deborah. The reason why... The reason why I want to honor her is because what I just read, every verse is my wife. She is one. That's why you're going to be so blessed today when she gives the message, because she's one who does what she says. And what she shares, everything she's sharing, she has done it. I have seen it for now, this coming Wednesday, for 42 years, I've been blessed to have a virtuous wife. Any other woman that would have been with me would have dug out 41 years ago. But I want to introduce Pastor Deborah Lum, who should be giving you the message today.
Thank you.
Love you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Before I get started, I'll try to get through the message today. Okay. There's a few that I want to honor because they need it. I brought my ammunition. The first is my mother, because without her, I wouldn't be here. And she's in glory, but I honor her. So thank you, Mom. Second, I want to honor Pastor Pat. She's not here this morning. She's with her family in Alaska, but she is the most awesomest spiritual mother that we have at the Door of Faith Church, and I just want to honor her. I know that she'll be watching later. So, Pastor Pat, we love you, and we honor you, and we just thank you for everything, for all of your gifts, all of your talents, and just your spiritual advice and everything that you sow into us as women. Thank you so much. We love you, and we honor you this morning. I also want to honor my children who are not able to be with us this morning, because without them, I wouldn't be a mother. And so I'm so grateful for my children. And for them allowing me to go through the courses that I've gone through as a mom. I wasn't always the best mom. I tried my very best as a young mom because I was young when I gave birth to my daughter. I was only 21. And so I was still learning myself and going through many different challenges as a young mother. But, you know, that's what we do as moms. We go through the trials. We go through the challenges. And God takes us through. And he's the one who is molding us and shaping us along the way. We don't become perfect when we take on motherhood. It's something that's a progress and something that it develops as we mature. Whether we're maturing in Christ or whether we're maturing in other ways, well, that could be a difference as well. But I'm very grateful for my children and for everything that they have helped me with as a mom to develop into who I am today. So thank you, children. Also, I would like to just say really quickly, I'm so sorry, but I just give me a few seconds more and I'll be through all of my thank yous. I want to honor some of those that have gone away, that are no longer with us, but they're still part of our family. So really quickly, I want to say happy Mother's Day, Lala, Evie, Sister Cheryl, Sister Dorothy, and there may be a few others that I've missed. Oh, Merlisa, we love you folks, and we miss you here at the Door of Faith. You're still our family, and we honor you this morning. Happy Mother's Day to you as well. So now that we're through with that, I can go ahead and start my message. So my message this morning, I believe, is something that for all mothers, whether you are new or whether you have been a mother for a long time, you can glean from this message this morning. For those that are new, I hope that you really sincerely take some notes and everything, because if I had known this when I was younger, I could have saved myself much grief. But it took, like I said, it took some process and some growing and some maturing to get there. But I eventually, I believe I'm kind of there. I'm still learning. I'm always learning. But my message this morning, it's called God-Fearing Mothers. And so my main scripture is Proverbs 31:30, which says, charm and grace are deceptive, and superficial beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, reverently, worshiping, obeying, serving, and trusting him with awe-filled respect, she shall be praised. And, you know, often a mother next to Christ is the most remarkable person in the life of her children. This being true, every mother should desire to be a mother who fears the Lord. So, gentlemen, I'm really sorry. Most of this message is for women, but I believe even fathers will be able to glean from this today. And whether you are a physical father, maybe you're not physically a father, but even you could glean from it and become a spiritual father to a young man. For the ladies in the house, if you are not a physical mother, perhaps you could be a spiritual mother to a young lady. So even for those who are not parents physically, I believe you can glean from my message this morning, and you can share it with someone who's younger and be a blessing to them as well. So I have categorized three different classes of mothers this morning. And there's one that I'm going to focus on, but I wanted to share the other two classes of mothers with you. The first one is an unsaved mother. And this is the mother that who has not accepted Christ as Savior, because she has not heard or has not given been given the opportunity to hear of Christ, or has not chosen Christ as her Savior yet. Anyway, we hope, right? The second would be the saved but carnal mother. So some may be wondering, what is a saved mother or what is a carnal mother? Well, this is the mother that is controlled by her flesh. So what is flesh? Flesh is her own sinful desires that is ruling in her life, and she's not being led by the Spirit. So what is being led by the Spirit? Being led by the Spirit means that she's not actively resisting evil and seeking to do good, nor living as God would desire her to live. She is saved by grace, so she's accepted Christ, but has not fully committed her life to Christ, and she continues to live her own way, not God's way. The third mother that I've categorized, is the saved and the spiritual mother. And this is really the mother that I'm going to be focusing on this morning. And this is a mother that has accepted Christ as her Savior and chooses to obediently follow his ways. So there's advantages of having a mother that falls into this category. She's saved and she's a spiritual mother who fears the Lord. And I know you keep hearing that this morning, because fear is so important. When we fear the Lord, it's not like, oh, I'm afraid. It's not that kind of fear. It's a reverence fear of God, a holy fear of God. And we don't want to miss heaven. We want to make sure that not only we make heaven our home, but that our families make heaven their home as well. So she is saved and she's a spiritual mother, right? So this, I believe, is actually the best way to go as training up our families and teaching them and the direction that we would like for them to go. So following the Lord's way will save you many unnecessary mistakes, okay? If you can hear anything from me this morning, if you follow God's way, you will make a whole lot less mistakes if you do it His way and not our own way. It'll bring you blessings beyond measure, not only to yourself, but to your families. Not to say that things will always be perfect when you do it God's way, but you will have a lot less issues when you follow God's ways than when you try to do everything your own way, okay? The Word of God the Word of God grants you much wisdom and understanding that you wouldn't necessarily have on your own. You know, He enlightens us as we begin to study the Word. The Holy Spirit opens up our understanding and helps us to be led and to be guided in things that we wouldn't naturally understand on our own. And you wouldn't know that unless you start to study the Word and start to read it on your own. Then you start to realize how the Lord will speak to you, and He will start showing you things that you wouldn't naturally know on your own. He will also be able to guide you along the way. You know, knowing Him and having that personal relationship with Him also grants you favor and blessings that you wouldn't normally have as well. So these are all things that really come when you start to delve into the Word of God, when you start to pray and to seek God, that you start to find all these treasures that you wouldn't have if you don't seek God. So before I begin further, I'm just going to ask that if we can just bow our head and ask the Lord's presence to come. I know He's already with us, but God, I just thank You this morning. I thank You for every single mother, every woman that is here in the house this morning. And we just thank You for honoring us with the ability to be able to be mothers, God. And we just thank You for that, Lord Jesus. And we just pray blessings over every mother. We pray that You would just continuously strengthen each one of them, continuously give them a supernatural joy, unspeakable, full of glory, Lord God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that they will continue to seek Your face, Lord God. And as they seek You, Lord Jesus, that You would just enlighten them, show them things for their family, show them the secret mysteries, Lord God, that they can only find by seeking after Your word and seeking You. So bless them, Jesus, and bless their families, Lord God. Let them see the treasures after they seek You, Lord, that they would have not known, Lord God. And let their families, Lord Jesus, be able to reap of the greatness of Your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray all these things. And everyone says amen. Amen. So as a reminder, this morning's message is the blessing of having the mother that has accepted Christ as her Savior. She's learned the true wisdom is found in the fear of the Lord. And she's saved. She's a spiritual mother who's chosen to obediently follow His ways. So my first point this morning is a God-fearing mother provides guidance, proper guidance for her families. She will discipline them and teach them humility. And my scripture is found in Proverbs 23, 14, and 15. If you strike him with a rod, you will save his soul from Sheol, my son. If your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. You know, they say, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. And sometimes our children need a little spanking on their little behinds to get them on to the right path. But sometimes they need a gentle speaking to correct them. Sometimes they need a firm talk with them to help correct them too. You know, we have to know as parents what is the right avenue and when is the right time for each of the methods. It's certainly not to be brutal and to be cruel to them with the discipline. But I believe that we can conclude that proper discipline and instructions for our children, and understanding that with that comes choices, and there are consequences with the choices that they are making. And it is best if they are learning it in their homes rather than learning it out in the world. So when we are helping them to learn to make the right choices in their homes, and that when we can guide them through those choices and help them understand what is right and what is wrong, and do it in a good manner, it's better in the home that they're taught that. It's best learned when they're at home. If we don't teach them and discipline them, what could happen is they can grow into unruly adults who will not want to follow any rules, who will not have any sense of guidance or want any guidance as they become into adulthood. And they'll have difficulty with authority. They'll have difficulty with keeping employment. And they'll have difficulty with law enforcement and so forth. So it's better to train them up when they are young so that they can understand that there's rules, there's regulations, there's things that we have to follow. And so that when they get older, it makes it much simpler for them and they're able to adjust in life much simpler. You know, the rod that they're speaking about here in this sentence, it's talking about the importance of correctly disciplining and guiding our children towards wisdom and righteousness. So speaking of righteousness, let me just kind of explain that. You see, it says, if you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. Well, Sheol is understood as the realm of the dead, a place of darkness and separation from God. So if we are saving them from Sheol, we are saving them from a spiritual death and an eternal separation from God. In the Bible, it often speaks of shepherds. And shepherds, they use a rod. If you see, they have like a staff, and often you'll see that staffs have like a little hook on the end of it. Well, those hooks, they use them to lead and to guide their sheep along the way, right? And they're trying to make sure that they're kept safe and that they're kept out of harm's way. Their rod was a tool that they used not only for guiding but correcting their sheep. And it was a symbol of their authority and of their discipline. Well, parents, we have a rod of correction that we have to have, that we need to lead and we need to guide and we need to discipline our young children. And it's best when we use it while they're young. But we use it with a gentle manner. And whether it be our tongue or whether it be just a little swat on their behind, you know. And please don't think I'm advocating parents beating, because I'm not. But I was a firm believer when my children were naughty, they got the little behind on them, swat on their behind. Trust me, they did. And my children are grateful for it today because they know right from wrong, but they never were abused, never had to go to a hospital, never had to call 911 from my neighbors or anybody else, because my children were very much loved, but they were corrected when they did things that were wrong. A mother can rejoice when her children are making right choices, especially when they're making spiritual choices that are the right choices that they're doing. She would understand that they would be saving themselves from damnation and that from being separated from God. She wants them to make the right spiritual choices. The Bible tells us that we are to train up our children in the way that they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. You know, but I want to caution you also when we're talking about this verse, because we need to understand, no matter how awesome our children are, every single one of them are unique. Every single one of them are free thinkers. Every single one of them have their own personality with natural twists. They all have sin tendencies and dreams of their own. Each one is made with a blend of God's creation, as well as they have a mix of human nature. So our job as parents is to train them up in the way that they should go. Okay, we are the ones who are to be leading them and to guide them along the way. Now, as they grow, because they have free thinking and because they're able to be their own personalities, does not mean that every single child, every single Christian child is going to come out perfect. Okay, so parents, I just want you to be aware of that. You may be the best mother, the best father, but our children still have a free will of their own. And that's all I'll say on that. Now, a mother who fears the Lord teaches scripture in her home. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 7. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." You know, Pastor John was talking about the Nicene Creeds. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. And on the third day, he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty." We need to know what we believe in. We need to be able to tell our children what we believe in. And we need to let them know that this is the God, the one and only true God, and there is only one God. There is no other God before him, and we need to teach it to them. We need to teach it to them diligently. It says, in our homes, it says, "And diligent, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." Day and night, we are to teach our children, not just on Sunday mornings when they come to Sunday school or when they're in church, but we are to diligently teach it to our children. We're to talk about the Lord, whether we're in our homes or sometimes when we're out having a lunch or a dinner or just out at the park or wherever we are. We should be teaching things about the Lord to our children. Because the more they are comfortable with you talking about Christ, the more they will be comfortable talking about Christ with others as well. A mother who fears the Lord teaches her family to love the Lord, to have a personal relationship with him, to read the word, to learn of him, to follow his ways, to be obedient in all that he commands. She teaches them to read the Bible, to go to church, to memorize scripture, how to love God. She models and demonstrates his ways. She shows them the path that God has for them. She teaches them the scriptures because they are God-breathed and useful for what does the Bible tell us? If we know this scripture, it tells us that it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says it equips for good works. So we need to be the example in our homes. You know, Timothy in the Bible, when you read 2 Timothy chapter 1 or 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says this about Timothy. It says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." So what does that mean for us? It means for us that we are able to share with our children, even as mothers, as grandmothers, great-grandmothers. I mean, we are able to instill in these youth the things of God. And when they are old, they revert back to it. You know, my daughter, you may not see her in church, but let me tell you, when there's things going on, my daughter calls me up. She's like, Mom, blah, 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 blah. When her friends have things going on, she's like, let me give you my mom's number. You need to call my mom. You need to talk to my mom. My mom needs to pray with you. You know, they know where to go because they know whom you serve. They know where the presence of God is. And they know what God's word says. And they know that it is truth and amen. Hallelujah. So we are also called to scripturally teach our children, right? Scriptural teaching to our children also leads to salvation. You know, Nicodemus had a very interesting conversation with Jesus. And he wanted to know, how can I be saved? How can I be saved? How can anyone know how they can be saved unless they're told? How can anyone know what to do unless we're sharing it with them? We must share the gospel. He says, Jesus told him, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So they need to know that they need to be born again. We have to share these things with our children. You know, it says that faith, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we have to share our faith with them. We have to let them see the examples of faith and that we're believing by faith. You know, I shared with Pastor Jacob's graduating class at Christian Academy. And I shared with them some stories about faith when I was young in my Christian walk, about how God had allowed me to be an instrument of this girl who says, I'm an atheist, don't pray for me, I don't want to know about it, I don't believe in God and everything. And so I says, that's okay, don't worry about it, I'm going to believe for you, and I'm just going to keep praying. She said, don't pray for me. I said, that's okay, I love you enough that I'm going to pray for you anyway. And so I just kept praying for this girl. And so she wanted to run the marathon, okay? And she was telling me that she was running the marathon, practicing for it. And she kept practicing, and she kept getting all these blisters in her feet. And I says, you know, our church, we have prayer cloths. And I'm going to give you something. I'm going to make you a believer out of God. And so I said, you put these prayer cloths in your shoes, and I'm going to believe that God is going to not allow you to get any more blisters on your feet. And you're going to be able to run that marathon that you're training for. She says, there's nothing that God can do. She goes, I don't believe it. I says, well, I'm going to prove you wrong. So you go and you put those prayer cloths in your shoes. And so she did. Now, I went one step further, and I went and I bought CDs for her, you know. In those days, we didn't have iPhones and things like that. So she ran with a CD player that was strapped to her arm and things. So I went and got the greatest gospel hits. And I told her, I says, now, if you listen to these Christian music, I'm telling you, God is going to do something supernatural through those prayer cloths in your feet. She said, I don't believe it. So I says, well, you can prove me wrong. And then you can come and laugh at me and tell me that your God is not real. But I'm going to prove you wrong and prove that my God is real. So she did. And guess what? God turned out to be real. She got no more blisters in her feet. She ran the full marathon, didn't have one blister. She was able to go out with her friends that night. She came back to work the next day, and she goes, I can't believe it. She goes, maybe there is a God. And so anyhow, the story goes on further. I'm not going to go into it. But, you know, she eventually became a Christian. And she gave her life to God. Yes, amen. So You know, we have to teach these kind of things to our children, that we have to have faith to believe that God is able to do it and that God will do it. And they have to be able to see the examples that God is real. And Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, our testimonies, the greatest testimony that we can share with our children is the life that we live. So when we are living a godly life, when we are being that example for our children, they can follow after that kind of life too. Point number two, a God-fearing mother prays for her family. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power, and it is working. James 5:16. You know, praying is a way of a life for a mother who fears the Lord. At night, I used to be on my knees. In the middle of the night, I would get up. The Lord would wake me up, and I would be on my knees in my stairwell. That was my prayer closet, was my stairwell. And I would be on my knees praying for my family, praying for my children. And I would just be there for, I don't know how long, I would just be praying and praying and praying for God. Do the miraculous, God. Save my children, God. Only you can do it. I can't do it. God, you're the only one. You're the only one who can save them. And do you know, God, save my children. And I would take out the anointed oil and I would go in my children's room. I would pray over them, everything, 13 years old, they wake up and they're like, Mom, don't put oil on my head. It's going to get pimples. You know, they were worried about the pimples. But I was worried about the Holy Spirit doing the work. Do it, God. You know, God is so good. God answers our prayers. You know, my son at 5 years old, he wanted to be a pilot. I prayed over him. God, let him be the pilot. Let him be the pilot. God, all the way through, I prayed. My son's a pilot today. Hallelujah. God hears our prayers. God hears our prayers, and he answers. A mother who fears the Lord has constant communication with the Lord, seeking support for her family and guidance from the Lord, looking unto the Lord, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the source that brings strength and alignment into the family. It is the Lord in whom she cries out to. You know, I used to get the anointed oil. I'm going to tell you guys this too, okay? I used to get the anointed oil, and I used to go inside the shower. And my daughter's shampoo, I used to put them in the shampoo. And I used to get the prayer cloths, and I used to put them underneath the sheet and in the pillowcases. And I used to put them all over the place, you know. I used to, like, drench that place with the oil. Lord, do the work, Lord. I can't do it, but God, you're able to do it. And I tell you, God is a good God. He answers the prayers. Hallelujah. Woo, God is good. God is a good God. But for us mothers, we keep the accountability and the transparency within the home, supporting unity and supporting spiritual growth for our families. You know, I just want to say this. I wish I had table talk with my family. For those of you who it's not too late, start table talks with your family. Start table talks with them. It's a place that it should be a safe environment for them to be able to have talks with you. A place that they can come and say, I did this wrong. I sinned. I did something I shouldn't have done. And you're going to say, okay, how did you handle it? Is there a better way that you could have done that? Is there something that you could have done to avoid doing it? How will you handle it the next time? And help talk them through it. Help them realize there's a better way than the way that they did it. You know, rather than okay, I'm going to give you, let me open the door, the window, so you guys can see into the Lum household. What you did that for? What's the matter with you? You stupid or what? Oh, my goodness. This is me as a young mother, okay? So shameful, right? That's not the way, parents, to do the things with your children. But had I learned, like I said, it's a process that we go through. We have to learn there's a better way to do things. There's a better way that we can teach our children and train them in a safe environment. Because our children shouldn't be like this. Worried about things, right? But instead, they should be comfortable sitting and sharing, I did something wrong I shouldn't have done. And a parent should be like, let me pray with you. Let me help you to understand there's a better way you can do it the next time. Do you see the difference? Do you see that there could be a blessing in you opening up a safe environment for your children? Rather than just, yo, stop it, can't you? What's the matter with you? No, that's not the way to go, okay? So practicing confessing sins one to another, it's not about humiliation or retaliation, but about seeking forgiveness and restoration. Now this is how Jesus would do it. Jesus' teachings, if you go and you read Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, it's about addressing the sin in the community. Jesus did it really differently. He openly let them say their sin, and then he forgives them. And he says, okay, don't sin no more. And just go about it. And he helps them through things. So we are to pray for them. So how many of you believe that there's power in confession? And confession is not a private matter. It involves a community of believers. And what better place than around a table in your own home, in a safe environment amongst those that love you and support you, right? So parents, we are able to foster this within our own homes in loving environments that are safe. So where we are held accountable to each other and where we also have mutual support for one another. A place where we can also teach our children that God will also commune with us. He'll talk with us right there at the table when we're sitting there with him. And he'll meet us right where we're at. And he'll bring forgiveness. And he'll wash us and make us as white as snow. He'll cleanse us and he'll renew us. He'll revive us and he'll make us whole again. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It does marvelous things for us. Prayer is the means that not only brings about physical healing, but it brings about spiritual healing too. It's an act of faith and trust in God and his power. So teach it to our children. Teach them that obedient action with living faith in God knows no defeat. Learn our motto. That is our Door of Faith motto is action with living faith in God knows no defeat. I tell you, that's a powerful motto. When we add the word obedient in front of it, man, off the charts, okay? So a mother who fears the Lord, she prays for her family before they are saved, and she prays for her family after they are saved. Effective prayer comes from a righteous person, a person who is vested in God. This is a mother who aligns herself with God and will seek God daily through prayer and through scripture. Mothers, we are called to actively engage. That's an active word, to engage in prayer. Reading our word, demonstrating our faith, and sharing it in our homes and everywhere we go, day and night, not just Sunday morning. So, am I only on point number two? Or am I on three? A God-fearing mother is a friend, this is point number three, in a time of need. Mothers are always there for you when you need them. Often, it can come at the most inopportune time, and we still say, sure, no problem, I can help you. You know, once Darren and I, we live in New Uwano, by the way, and we were driving to Pearl City, and we were about 5 minutes from our destination, and Brittany, my daughter-in-law, calls us, and she says, oh, do you guys think you could come and help us, help me? And I'm like, sure, when do you want us to come and help you? She's like, I need you to meet me at University Avenue. I said, sure, when do you want us to meet you at University Avenue? She says, I'm on my way there. I'm on my way there. No notice, right? I'm on my way there. And here Darren and I are in Pearl City. I said, sure, we'll be there. Just send me the address and we'll be there. Now, we had another appointment that we were going to, and we're 5 minutes away. We're already in Pearl City. So we look, I have her on speakerphone, and Darren and I are both looking at each other like, okay, we'll just cancel whatever we were going to do. We'll just drop that, and we'll turn around, and we'll U-turn and go and meet her. Now, this is in peak traffic hour. And so when I say it's inopportune time, it was pretty inopportune time because we're going from one side of the island to the other, right? But we dropped what we were doing, and we just turned around, and we went to meet her. But that's what we do as parents. We meet their need at the time that they need us, and we drop what we do. So I love my little granddaughter this morning. Bella, I forgot to thank her. So give me a moment. I got to thank Bella. I'm going to have you listen to this. That's why. I'm so grateful for my granddaughter and all my grandchildren. You know, she's mentioned that we make breakfast for them every morning. They live in Pearl City, and we live in New Uwano, but they go to school in New Uwano. They go to a private school there, and they leave their house early in the morning to try to get through some of the traffic and not get too congested into it. So we tell them, you come to our house. We're the drive-through McDonald's, but the Lums. We're the Lums drive-through. So you come through to our house and pick up breakfast, and then you can go to school. So they call us, and they said, we're leaving now. And so we're like, what do you want for breakfast this morning? And Bella's usually like, can I have French toast with strawberries and whipped cream? And London and Asher are like, can I have bacon and rice? And we're like, sure, whatever you want. Why not? And so Grandma and Grandpa cook their breakfast, and they come, and they're like, we're driving up the hill now. And we're like, okay, Grandpa will bring it down to the driveway. And Grandpa runs their breakfast down to the driveway. But that's what we do, you know? What better life can we offer to give to our grandchildren than to make a simple breakfast? But they get their brain power for school, right? So it's a great thing for us to be able to give them brain power in the morning. So we love you, Bella, and just thank you for all those kind words that you said this morning. Grandma loves you, and I do it over and over again every single day. So thank you, Bella. Okay, now we go on with the message. As grandparents and parents, we do what we have to do when they are calling on us because we love them. You know, a mom's love is unconditional. We don't have all those boundaries wrapped around that love. We welcome love with an open heart and with open arms. Christ's mother was at the cross when he was crucified. You know, John chapter 19, verse 25 and 26, it says, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. You know, this is a beautiful verse, because it just shows a mother's love. that her son was being beaten, brutalized, and here he is on the cross at his death, and here she was at the foot of the cross, still loving her son, still there in the midst of her son. And this is a great example of what a mother does. A mother is always there for her children. And so Jesus looks down and he says, woman, behold your son. And he speaks to his brother John, and he tells John, you know, John, now it's your turn. You need to take care of your mother. That's how the scripture goes on. So even at the end, Jesus took care of his mother. He honored his mother. And, you know, it's just a beautiful scene when you read it and you see it. But I want to give you another illustration of a prisoner and a mother. And a mother will be with us in our sorrows and our trials. And this is a prisoner that was sentenced to death and sent word to his mother, who stood by him during the trial. And she was thinking that he was not guilty, or maybe she was thinking he was guilty. But her reply was, son, I still love you. And you know, for a mother, it doesn't matter. It's still her son. And a mother still loves her child. I read a book once, and it was about a prisoner who was on death row. And so this guard had gotten close to him, and the guard asked him, why'd you do it? He killed somebody, and so he was on death row. And the guard was the only one who shared a hug with him in his life. The guard was the only one who shared with him about Jesus. And every day the guard would go and read the Bible with him. And the prisoner ended up giving his life to the Lord. But when he asked him, why did you do it? His reply was, all my life, I only knew beatings. Everything was, I was always beaten. And I never once ever got a hug. The first hug he ever received was from the prison guard. He never heard the word, I love you. He never heard those words spoken to him. So you see how we can make an impact when we share love, when we give love, when we embrace them. It makes such a difference. Because if we're going to be violent and we're going to yell at them and scream at them all the time, then what do you think they are going to come out like? That's all they know. So we have to adjust our lifestyle. And we have to look at, how does God, his son react? That's the kind of lifestyle that we want to be like. We want to exemplify what he taught us about his own father and how he treated his father. So even up until the very end, Jesus' mother is there at the foot of the cross, enduring it all with her son. She was with him through it all. A mother is there supporting even through the toughest of moments. When her children weep, she weeps with them. She will pray for them. She will love them. She will encourage them. And she will stand with them. Moms, are you willing to let go even when it hurts? Sometimes we have to let our children go and learn. They need to learn from their own mistakes. However, we still love them through it. We still support them through it, and we still are there for them. So today, I encourage all of you, remember your own mothers. Do something special for them if they are still here, and treat them with great respect. And so I'm going to ask, this is the closing of my message. I'm going to ask Kui if he can come up. And I'm going to have him play that song again for us, The Blessing. And I hope that you folks were able to glean something out of this message this morning about being a God-fearing mother, and that you can be a blessing to your families and to your children, to your household, and that you can begin a legacy for your family of blessings, because we can be a legacy also that is not a blessing. But let's choose to be a blessing to our family. So let's all stand. If you're here with your wife this morning, I'm just going to ask for you to turn to each other. And we're just going to say our prayer with one another. And it's so blessed. If you're a mom and you don't have a husband here, or if you don't have your partner here, can you just raise your hand? I want to see you, okay? All right. No, for mothers. Just for moms. Okay, for the men here, Pastor Jacob, can you find one of these women and stand with them? Let's see. Let me get some more men. Pastor Chris, can you stand with her and pray with her, please? And who else? James in the foyer, can you come? Doug, can you come? I need some help from some of the men. Sister Laura Lee needs someone to stand with her. Norma and Chastity in the back need somebody to stand with her. Stand with them. Can someone stand with them and pray with them, please? All right. Is there anyone else that I didn't get? That's a mom. Leah? Okay. You two here. Who else? Vic? You got somebody there? You got there. Oh, you got your wife in. Okay. Asher, come. You help pray. Kala'i, come. Kana'i, come. We're going to utilize some of our young men. I want you guys to pray. Pray with Asher right here. Pray with Leah. Kana'i, come. You pray with your mom. Praise the Lord. Okay, pray with her. Oh, Matthew. Okay, come, Matthew. Do we have anyone else? I want to make sure everyone is covered. All the women are covered. Any other women? Okay. Matthew? Oh, where's Tony? Tony's up there. Okay, Matthew, come here. Come and stand with Teresa. Okay. And Brooke. Yes. All right. I think we got everybody covered. All right. And Darren, can you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for our mothers. We just thank you. You just heard a mom speaking her heart, just like she was doing to her children. We were so blessed to hear this message from Pastor Deborah's heart, Lord. Lord, for all of the mothers here, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. For the husbands who are standing next to their wives, Lord. Lord, we know how blessed we are to have this woman in our life, because we could have done it without them. We just thank you, Lord. Continue, Lord, to just bless them. Continue, Lord, to always show favor, Lord, as she lays the foundations for generations and generations. We are so blessed. We just thank each and every mother here today, Lord. Cover them, strengthen them, clothe them with righteousness, honor. We just thank you that your light continue to shine from them, Lord. And strengthen them. Strengthen their arms when they're weak, Lord. We just thank you for their lives, Lord.
And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each of these women. May we all be God-fearing mothers, Lord God. Give us the supernatural strength, Lord, that is needed to be a mom. Help us, Lord Jesus, to waken the still quiet moments and to pray and to believe by faith, God, that you're able to do the unexpected for our families, Lord God. Lord, help us, Lord Jesus, to train up our children in the way they should go, that when they are old, they will not depart, Lord God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to teach them the scriptures in our houses and in the outsides, and Lord, by day and by night, Lord God. Let us, Lord Jesus, be living examples, Lord God, that they may know that our children will see us reading our words, see us praying in our homes, Lord God, that they may know how to go about being, Lord Jesus, an example for others to follow after, Lord God. So bless them, Lord Jesus. Bless the homes, Lord God, and let their presence there, Lord God, be filled with you, Lord Jesus. Let it, their homes, Lord, just be filled with the awe and the wonder of God, Lord Jesus. So we thank you for our families today and for every mother. Bless them beyond measure. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray all these things in your name, Lord, and we thank you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you all. Have a blessed Mother's Day.